What's happening? What is going on?
It's the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast. I'm Bob Boylan. I know last night I'm listening to the James Blake, the new James Blake record, which came out of, well, not quite nowhere. We had a couple of songs during the day. We've heard a little bit on the BBC about it maybe previously, but basically 17 songs, new songs, fabulous. What a bunch of weeks.
Well, really, you have to go back to Beyonce. She started, we've got all these incredible drops from everybody in the last 10 days, week and a half or so. When Beyonce dropped Lemonade on April 23rd, with a film on HBO, just a monstrously brilliant record. Drake announced that he was putting out a record. He gave us about a two-week notice on that, which, you know, in the old days would have been unheard of, and it almost feels like a long ramp up or lead up to a record now. And that came out just a few days after Lemonade, and then a few days after that, then Radiohead releases a new song out of the blue after some social media teases, and then after that, you get to James Blake, then Chance the Rapper last night debuts a new song and announces a new record, you know, and then now here it is Friday morning, we find out Radiohead's up to something again, and then boom, another new song and a whole new record. It has just been a deluge.
We're okay with that.
Yeah, I mean,
I like music, and the we is Jacob Gans, who's here, who does so much of the great editing and writing here at NPR Music, and Saida Blount. She's in New York City. We're in Washington, D.C. And hi, Saida.
Hey there.
I don't know about everybody else, but I was still trying to digest the Beyonce record when all this other stuff came down the pike, and it's nearly impossible to keep up with it and get a nice deep dive into each record.
How you holding up, Saida? These are all groups I think that you're probably huge fans of.
Yeah, it's been really amazing. I absolutely feel like we're being blindsided with good music, and I cannot complain. I just started getting into the topical sort of levels of Lemonade, and then we have this announcement that another Drake album is coming, and then, wow, hit with 20, 21 songs right there. And then now this week has been so plentiful. It's like an audio Thanksgiving almost, like an oral Thanksgiving, just stuffing our plates full of goodness.
Well, and then 17 songs on the James Blake record, and I listened to the whole thing last night too, and that was my night. It's like, there's literally no more room for me. And then, of course, Chance was on the Fallon show, and then I was like, okay, I guess I got to stay up and watch that.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. It's all amazing. It's all wonderful, but my goodness.
Yeah, to quote our friend Drake, I mean, what a time to be alive that you can almost in a 4-week period have like almost 5 or 6 great albums just be announced and or dropped.
Of the stack of records that are out now, which is the one that you've been loving the most?
I have to say, honestly, Lemonade. I listened to that record 4 times in one day, the first day it was available, which I usually don't even get a chance to do that, let alone actually do it. And we haven't shared anything on the show. Can I play just a little bit of...
Yeah.
She collaborated with so many people on this record, among them Jack White, and this is a song she did called Don't Hurt Yourself with Jack White.
Dragon, breathe the fire. Beautiful man, I'm the lion. Beautiful man, I know you're lying. I am not broken, I'm not crying. I'm not crying. You ain't trying hard enough. You ain't loving hard enough. You don't love me deep enough. We're not reaching peaks enough. Blindly in love, I fucks with you till I realize I'm just too much for you. I'm just too much for you. You just gotta let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, baby.
My lord, this album. There's country, there's rock, there's hip-hop, there's R&B. I mean, It is amazing. And the fact that she spans so many genres on this record feels to me like she's put a seat at the table for everyone to come up and join her in the conversation she's having here.
Yeah, did we need any other records?
Well, we deal with so many publicists, and I noticed a lot of them on social media after this came out were saying, can we just take the week off? No one's going to pay attention to anything except for this Lemonade record.
Si, was there anything that you spent that much time with?
I have to say that in just the few hours of the James Blake album coming out, I've already listened to it 3 times.
Wow.
And I'm spellbound. I fully have to admit I am a big James Blake fan. I just find something so intriguing about the soundscapes and the way that he blends his voice with them. But there were definitely at least 3 or 4 wow moments on that album for me. He even shows up on Lemonade, which is amazing.
Right.
I think that was quite a great tease, and I feel like maybe he was smart to be like, hey, the iron's kind of hot right now. Let me get in on this. But I think that his effort this time around is really lovely, and it's really beautiful, and it has a beautiful anxiety to it that I really, really like.
Yeah, it's kind of dreamy and scary.
Yeah.
Dark and beautiful.
Yeah. What do you want to play?
I think off of that album, I really am enjoying Timeless. Timeless is the first song that I actually went wow, the full jaw drop of a wow off of the album. I think it's kind of sonic perfection, and I think it really sounds like a trademark James Blake track.
I certainly got lost in this world last night, and happy to get lost in this world on pretty much any given night. There's something that is happening on this record. First of all, almost none of the songs have a drum beat that is steady all the way through. There's Timeless is the closest to a solid beat that happens, although it changes up. Many of them are just imply the beat. They're so spare. It's kind of what the XXXX started to do many, many years ago that he has found as well, spaciousness in music, which is sort of the opposite of the Beyoncé record when I listen to it. There is very little space in that record.
Well, it's a dense, it's just an atomic bomb of a record. And I have to say, Si, the fact that you've gotten through this record 3 times already is impressive. You must have stayed up until 4 in the morning.
I did. If you didn't see, I actually sent like an inner team mail about it at like 1:40 something in the morning.
That, yeah.
And I was like, ooh, maybe that's not good. But yeah, it was, I just knew that I couldn't go to bed without hearing it at least once. And then I kind of laid there in bed just kind of processing some of the sounds and the tension that he put there. It was a little bit tough to go back and go to sleep, but and then I woke up and listened to it twice, once while I was getting ready for the day, and then the next time coming in. It's just a really lovely sounding album, but there is a tension there, which I think is interesting. A tension, a bit of anxiety, that a thread of that going through it.
Yeah, the unsettling moments of the repetition that happens sometimes in instrumentation that might happen over 2 minutes, the same little phrase happening over and over, like a siren outside your window or things like that, that are, you know, it's not the kind of record that you put on and wake up to in the morning and you know, feel great about the world, but sonically it is so beautiful as well. So
it's going to transform your environment wherever you play, whether you're alone in bed or on the train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is anyone at all like bothered? Maybe bothered's not the right word. I guess I'm wondering what the dropping records like this and so many in such short order. What
is it too much?
Is it too much? Like, if I'm still trying to make sense of the Beyonce record, and now you know, then the Drake, and then the 20 tracks there, and 17 new songs from it, and now I'm excited that there's a Radiohead record coming on. Or, you know, coming soon. And I just wonder how this is affecting the way people listen to music.
It feels to me as if this is just the open faucet we've had for a really long time. It just happens to be more bigger names at the moment with that's all. And Prince dying, too, on top of that, I think is not to be counted out as to
how it affects our perception of...
Yeah, it feels like the world is sort of focused on what musicians are doing right now.
And and musicians of a higher stature, higher stature. But I don't think, and I was saying this the other night in a conversation, which is that the amount of music that we hear and any music journalist gets in a given morning, really, is about the same amount of albums that came out in a given year when I was growing up.
You'd get maybe 30 records in a year. Yeah. 30. Yeah. 30.
I mean, 30 that mattered. You know, I mean, there may have been 300, you know, albums that came out, or 400 albums that came, or something. Ridiculously small number of records, and that comes into our inbox every day. I think what's happening here is the surprise element and the stature of the artists who are music we're looking forward to hearing.
Yeah, I mean, it really does feel like there's like a... what they're doing is tapping into a huge conversation that is a little bit more universal than some of the floods of records that we get on a normal week. And it feels like everybody gets to participate in them. And that's actually, for me, that's the most fun about this whole process. And I have to totally admit, I haven't listened to the James Blake record yet. I'm kind of take my time. There's been a ton of other music that's come out this week that's not these things. I'm sort of taking my time sampling through those things as well. I kind of feel bad in some ways for the musicians who are just putting out records the way that we're used to doing it. Like, there's a great White Lung record that's out this week, and there's a great Anani record that's out this week.
Yeah.
And those records were put out in sort of, now we think of them in sort of traditional ways. The, you know, a couple of songs came out. There was maybe a pre-release stream somewhere. You know, a couple of videos were made. In the old days, when a massive release came out on the same day as some smaller things, that would boost everybody's sales because it got those big records, got everybody into the record stores. I kind of wonder whether Beyonce and Radiohead and James Blake and Drake are going to actually distract from those other smaller records now, because everybody's going to rush to spend time to listen to those things and not take the time to listen to the ones that, you know, they've been waiting for weeks.
Which brings me to the point of how things are counted. How is it even done anymore? So if I'm on a Spotify user and last night I get notification that the James Blake record's there, and I listened to that record 2 times, but I didn't buy it. I have my $10 subscription, monthly subscription, or not. How does anyone count record sales? Jacob Gans.
Well, it's complicated, and it's gotten a lot more complicated, and it depends on who you ask. I mean, Billboard, you know, with Nielsen SoundScan, which tracks record sales and has for a long time, basically it said that 1,500 streams of any song on an album counts as a sale of that album, which is a little bit crazy, but it is the thing that you have to sort of, they're looking forward 10 years maybe to when people aren't buying physical albums anymore, aren't buying digital albums anymore, and the idea of a sale is still something that's possibly valuable, and you have to come up with some way of approximating that thing.
So if some small band puts out a song that's a real big hit, and 1,500 It gets played 1,500 times. They've just sold one $9.99 album.
Yeah, that's the same as selling a single album for $9.99. Not in terms of how much money that they're getting, okay. Although it's probably relatively close to that, given the amount of money that you make from the very small amount of money you make from a stream. But it gets counted that way towards the charting. Charts, right? If Billboard's albums chart, which used to just absolutely measure sales of physical albums and then digital albums, but it was a transaction, right? You paid some money for an album, whether you got a set of MP3s or you got an LP or you got a CD. You paid money, you got one thing, you took it home, it counted as a single sale. Streaming makes that much more complicated, obviously, because you have to figure out a way to count all of those different things. Some people don't ever buy any physical albums anymore, and you don't want to... And some artists stream at a much higher rate than other artists do, so you don't want to say that somebody is less relevant to the albums chart because people stream their records as opposed to actually buying them.
Does YouTube count?
YouTube does not count. Streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. Tidal doesn't actually count because Tidal doesn't report how many people listen to its service and how many.
Really?
Yeah, they don't report yet. I have a feeling that'll probably change at some point in the future.
Hurts.
But you know, the record labels also tell us how many times something has been listened to, and that's actually a thing that happened last week. Drake's record label said Drake's album has been listened to 250 million times.
And that blew my mind. I didn't understand that
figure.
In the
first 6 days that it was out.
How is that possible?
Well, what they're doing is they're using sort of this new way of thinking about album sales. And anytime anybody listened to a song from the album, it counted as a stream. So it could be just a single song from that album. A better way to think of it is just songs from Views, the new Drake record, have been listened to 250 million times.
Collectively.
But not the album.
Not the album as a whole.
250 million.
Yeah, that was confusing me. I saw that number too, and I thought, all the way through? But I mean, I'd love to know how they arrived at this figure, 1,500 stream figure, because, I mean, you know, it used to be, sometimes people would, there's one song people would hear on the radio, they'd go buy a whole record to get the one song, so one's... That was the only song they wanted, but they still dropped the $9.99.
Right,
so it almost seems to me like, logically, I would think if you stream a song once from a record, that should count as a sale of that record. Right?
And where do they get 1,500? Like, if you're an artist, you get about a half a penny. Somebody gets about a half a penny.
Yeah, whoever owns the rights to that song gets about a half a penny.
Times 1,500, it's about seven. So it's about seven and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can understand why they're making the approximation they are. They want that. They want a listen to count, but it shouldn't count as much as somebody going out and buying the record or listening obsessively to the record over and over and over again. And I think that's they're trying to make some approximation. But it's also, Drake gamed this in a big way as well. I think putting 20 songs on his album is not an accident. Packing a record in this day and age when there aren't limits on how long an album can be, even a CD is not the limit anymore.
Right. James Blake record falls about 2 or 3 minutes over what a full CD could hold.
Yeah, the Drake record certainly would have as well. I mean, that just means it gives people more entry points. It gives there are more opportunities for individual songs that are streamed highly to land on the Billboard songs chart. And also, Drake did one thing that was kind of amazing, which was he added one of last year's biggest songs as basically a bonus track to the end of the record. Hotline Bling, which was a huge song last year, got streamed millions of times.
So did the record, as soon as he released Views, then did that... Did the record inherit all of the previous stream counts?
That's a perfect way of describing it. The record inherited all of those stream counts from Hotline Bling because they had been played... That song had been played on these services so many times before Views even came out. And since it was included on the album, it was just now a single from the record.
So that record, the minute it was available, already had counted in terms of charts, had already racked up millions of listens.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Hundreds of millions of listens.
Wow.
Which doesn't count towards millions of album sales. Again, you have to condense that by 1,500. But still, Drake is going to have sold by the end of the first week of its release.
There were quotes there, folks.
Yeah, there were air quotes. You can't see them on the radio. It will have sold in this new era over 1 million copies at the end of its first week of release.
One of the things that's kind of funny about all of this is that the very artists who really don't have any problem getting attention are relying on these, what some people might call gimmicks to get attention, right? These sudden releases, you know, Radiohead going off all of its social media.
And we've just fallen right into that.
Yeah. Well, it's in some ways, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, all these surprise releases, they're all being done by massive artists, right? Who really don't need to do it. It's, you know, I found the Radiohead, the way Radiohead did it, to be a lot of fun. It was kind of fun to wonder what on earth is happening here.
To follow all the breadcrumbs.
Yeah, to follow the breadcrumbs to what little mystery lies at the end. And it's just interesting to see all of these massive artists like this play this out, especially when they don't even really need to.
Or they do. It's maybe the only way to get the kind of attention that you used to be able to sort of package together in the days of the sort of record label at its peak, right? We're in kind of a little bit of a Wild West period. Maybe marshalling all of the different forces together across different kinds of media, across different platforms is, you know, the only way to make it feel like something is an event anymore.
And I'm going to say it's kind of fun, but in the long run, 6 months from now, when I listen to the James Blake record or whichever ones of these that I listen to, it's not going to matter to me. I might have a memory of the night when I was sitting alone, it came, and all of a sudden the rest of my night was planned for me. But beyond that, I'm not sure it matters. Speaking of Radiohead,
the way Radiohead played it out certainly piqued my curiosity the most. You know, that they bleached out they basically erased all their presence, all of their posts and everything. They kept their Twitter and Facebook accounts and their homepage live, but they deleted all their posts. The homepage was bleached white, and didn't the color slowly start coming back? Or no, they gradually faded to white. That was it. Yeah.
And then they posted those two Instagram teasers on the website on Tuesday morning or whatever it was.
Yeah. And then we got Burn the Witch and then Daydreaming.
Just before we walked in the door.
Yeah, just before we walked in the door today. I came in this morning thinking, all right, they're obviously still up to something. When's a new record coming? And then we get this gorgeous, gorgeous 6.5-minute song that and video directed by Paul Thomas Anderson that I think we should just play the whole song here as we go out.
Fantastic. Thank you, everybody.
Fun to be here.
Yeah. See what happens this weekend, folks. Thanks, Jacob Gantz.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aida Blount.
Thank you.
Cheers. Take care. Let's hear music.
Radiohead, Daydreaming. From their new record they have coming right now, we don't even know the name of the record.
It'll end on Sunday. Thank you.
most happy, sir.